Good early morning. If you have your Bibles, turn to the book of Matthew chapter 7 as we continue our study, understanding this Sermon on the Mount. Now today, Jesus challenges us about who we follow in life. He talks about the narrow way. He talks about the narrow gate. And Jesus sets the bar high for us in this Sermon on the Mount. There's only one way to heaven. And he says, man, listen, all of the things that you do in life will never be good enough to get you there. Only in Christ and in Christ alone. We're saved by Christ, through grace, by faith. And that's it. And a lot of us, you know what? We have a hard time accepting that. And a lot of our backgrounds, our religious or spiritual backgrounds that we're from, we think we have to do something else in there. You know, if I have to, well, yeah, Jesus, but I've got to be a good person, or I've got to do good works, or I have to go to church, or I have to be baptized. We can name off all these things that we have to do. Listen, there's nothing you can add in your own doing to Jesus Christ for salvation. Zero. And Jesus warns us today in the Sermon on the Mount about getting it right through the narrow gate in the narrow way. If you have your Bibles, Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. Verse 13 and 14. Matthew 7, verse 13 and 14. So we begin reading. Now remember who Jesus is talking to now on the Sermon on the Mount. He's talking to his 12 disciples. But there's a crowd that's gathered around. And some of those are his disciples. They're not the inner 12 that he handpicked. But listen, there are many who believe and who follow Christ. He's speaking this to. And then there are a lot of unbelievers in the crowd that kept moving closer and closer as Jesus was teaching his disciples. So there's a message in here for us. Jesus says, enter through the narrow gate. For the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction, and there are many who enter through it. For the gate is small and the way is narrow that leads to life, and there are few who find it. Let's pray together. Father God, today, this message really pierces and penetrates through the very core of our being. And Lord, I know today that it raises red flags for ourselves. Holy Spirit, you have your way. Show us whether we are in Christ today or not. And that way, Lord, you lead us to salvation in you and in you alone. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So Jesus is teaching something very, very simple to us today, that we need to be in Christ. It's not good enough just to know some things about Christ. You see, there are a lot of people who go to church that know some things about Christ, but they don't know Christ. And they're still standing on the outside of the narrow gate because they know some things about Christ, but they don't know Him, and He doesn't know them personally. Oh, today, if you're already in Christ, though, listen, you've entered that narrow gate. Jesus this morning is also inviting you to come on further down into the pathway, this narrow pathway, as you begin to understand more about Christ and you begin to marvel and wonder over the things that He has for you and in store for you, and He blesses you in your life. So in this passage this morning, Jesus keeps it pretty simple for us. He really does. He only tells us about two choices. It's the broad way and the narrow way. Only two choices. I'm glad God didn't say, listen, there's 50 choices. You can choose one to get to heaven. No, there's two. The narrow way that leads there and the broad way that leads to destruction. Jesus tells us about two gates, two roads, two destinies, two crowds in this passage. So let's dig a little deeper in this study this morning. Because we're familiar with this text. We've heard it many times. Read it many times ourselves. Let's understand a little bit more about salvation. So represented in this passage really are three tenses of salvation. The first one is justification. That's the past understanding, past tense of salvation for those who are in Christ. That's what Jesus did on the cross, and when you accept him as your Savior, you receive the gift that he's given to you, salvation, that justifies you before God because you are a lawbreaker. You broke all Ten Commandments. That's God's law. You must be justified, and Jesus paid the penalty for your sin on the cross, and you claim for yourself what Jesus did. Now you're justified before God. And that's most of our understanding. So when we say salvation or saved, that we're saved, that's what we understand, that we're justified before God because what Jesus did on the cross for us. But it also means a second thing, sanctification. So a second tense of salvation is sanctification. That's presently what we're going through. So from the time that you accept Christ as your Savior, right then, now you're being sanctified. So Jesus paid the penalty for your sin. Now he's taking the power of that sin out of your life. So for the rest of your life, to the day that you pass from this beloved earth, or Christ comes back, you are being sanctified. In other words, the power of sin is being taken little by little out of your life. So the penalty of sin and the power of sin, sanctification is taking the power of the sin out of your life. And a third thing we see is glorification. This is something future. We're saved from the presence of sin. So we're saved from the penalty of sin. That's justification. We're going through this sanctifying process our entire life. We're being saved from the power of sin. God begins to pull a little bit out of time out of our lives. But boy, when we pass from this life into the next, we have a glorified body. Not even the presence of sin is there. Not even the presence of sin. That will be a day. Oh, what a day that will be. Man, when what Jesus I shall see. No sin abides there with us. See, Scripture calls all three of these salvation. So in this text that we just read just a moment ago, listen for all three of those tenses because it's very important that we get the body and get the understanding of this text. Verse 13 says, enter through the narrow gate. The gate right there, meaning Jesus, that's justification. For the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction. And there are many who enter through it. For the gate is small and the way right there is sanctification. The way is narrow that leads to life. That's glorification. And there are few who find it. So Jesus is talking about all three tenses of salvation. And we must be aware that Jesus is comparing something here. He's comparing true Christianity with false Christianity. The narrow gate he's talking about and the narrow way he's talking about true Christianity. The broad way and the broad path that he talks about is false Christianity. He's not talking about Christianity and the pagan world. He's talking about two that both advertise themselves, this was the way to get you to heaven. Two gates that both say the destiny is heaven. And Jesus is saying, only the narrow way gets you there. Oh, listen, looking more and more. Both the narrow gate and the broad way are marked as gates to lead to heaven. And listen, this should send red flags to our souls. It really should. There's a time to alert our souls for a soul evaluation. Am I in Christ? Am I in the narrow way? Or am I living the broad way? Just fooling myself that I'm saved when I'm really not. Man. See, the broad way is sprinkled with just enough Christian religion that it sounds right, even though its end is destruction. So this morning, the question comes, are you in Christ? Have you entered the narrow gate? Are you on the narrow way? Are you trusting Christ alone with His divine accomplishments as your path for salvation? Or are you following religious pathway that is broad and filled with human achievements where you acknowledge God, so you do some religious rituals, and then you try to build your own righteousness through good works and good behavior and good character? Man, that's false Christianity. And there are countless people that we run into every day say, oh yeah, I'm a Christian. But man, they're trying to add something to Jesus Christ. They're on the broad way that says, hey, do this and you'll go to heaven. And Jesus says, that's wrong. I am the only way. And the gate is narrow and the way is small. This broad way is false Christianity. See, Satan has packaged this belief into many denominations today. They believe that you have to believe Jesus and be baptized for salvation, and or you have to do good works. Is Jesus plus good works, or Jesus plus a pristine character? Man, they believe it is Jesus plus you that brings salvation. And that's what Jesus is warning people about in the Sermon on the Mount. It's not you. It's all Christ. Christ was obedient for us because we never will be. He sets the bar high, even in salvation. Salvation is in Christ alone. Why? Because we will never do anything that accomplishes salvation. Jesus did it for us. He's the narrow gate. He's the narrow way. Salvation is in Christ alone, through grace alone, by faith alone. You'll hear me say this over and over again. And do you realize that both of those are gifts of God? Let's look at these two gates. The first contrast by Jesus is talking about these two gates. Verse 13 says, enter through the narrow gate. This word enter in the Greek means to arise and come through at once. There's an imperative here. It's an imperative action verb. In other words, do it now. Do it now. This is the moment. This is the time. God is calling you. You must come now. This is an absolute demand, not an option. Here he is telling his disciples, now, today is the day of salvation. Come now. Enter the gate now. He's wanting to clear up, because if you remember, he is trying to diffuse out of his own disciples that old belief system that if they did all the good works, that they would inherit salvation. He's saying, listen, that's not it. And for some of us, that's what we have been taught, that we have to live a certain way so that God's favor would be on us, so that we would go to heaven. And Jesus is trying to listen. He's diffusing that completely right here. He says, come now to salvation in Christ alone. See, Jesus is very aggressive here in his tone. He gave them an absolute truth and now demanding action. See, Jesus is pressing this urgency. Why? Why is he demanding people to respond? Because hell, listen, hell will be filled with millions and millions of people who simply admired the Sermon on the Mount but refused to enter the narrow gate. There are a lot of people who really admire Jesus and they feel good about doing religious things, but man, they miss Christ all the way around. They want to be at church to be a better person or to have friends or to have somewhere for their kids to go. But they miss Jesus. They miss Christ. And Jesus is saying you must enter the narrow gate. Have you entered the narrow gate? It's a question we deal with. If not, then listen, today is your day for salvation in Christ alone. Quit trusting yourself for salvation. Quit adding yourself into the formula. It's all Jesus. See, there's only one way to heaven. Jesus said in John 10, verse 9, he says, I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. Listen, you can sit in the Baptist church all your life and die and go to hell. Being Baptist doesn't make you a Christian, doesn't make you saved, it makes you religious. No, man, you have Christ. Because there are people sitting in this church who believe it's Jesus plus themselves that'll get them to heaven. No, Jesus is telling us that's wrong. Salvation is in Christ alone. He is the narrow gate. He's the only one to salvation. He is the only way to salvation. So Jesus not only took our sins to the cross. Listen to what Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. He made him, meaning Jesus, who knew no sin, to become sin in our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of him. Not only did Jesus take our sin on the cross, take that penalty of sin from us, he also gave us his righteousness. God, when he looks at you and me, he sees that we are robed with the righteousness of Christ. It's counted for us because of Jesus. See, every religion in the world, and many, many denominations, Christian denominations, has as a listen, a common factor, a man-centered works to earn your way to heaven, except biblical Christianity. It says that only in Christ we are saved. We had nothing to do with earning grace, and we had nothing to do with earning salvation. Zero. Romans chapter 6, verse 23 says, for the wages of sin is death. But the gift, the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. It's a gift. A free gift. I love the, you know, we know a gift is free, but he even comes back and says, it's a free gift. You can't earn it. You can't work for it. It's a free gift. Quit trusting ourselves for our salvation. Quit adding you in, Jesus plus you. The narrow gate is Jesus alone. Jesus alone. Verse 13 says, enter through the narrow gate. So we get it. That the gate is narrow. That Christ is alone is the way that we're saved. He is that narrow gate. But we need to get this too. The gate is narrow, therefore we must enter one at a time. We enter alone. You know what that means? That means that you must have a personal, one-on-one relationship with Jesus Christ. It's not a group thing. It's you and God through Jesus. You must enter the gate by yourself. It's not you and your husband. It's not you and your kids. It's you entering the gate alone. A narrow gate of Christ. Verse 13 says the word narrow and verse 13, the word small, both come from the same Greek word, meaning compressed or constricted or closed out or singular. When you come to Christ, It's not you and your husband that get through the gate. It's you alone. Your husband's going to have to come later or right after you. But you're not going through Christ together. It is you by yourself. Personal with Jesus Christ. The kingdom of God is built one soul at a time. Listen, that's why every soul matters. That's why on Sunday mornings, pastors' hearts break because they see empty chairs. Because every soul matters. Listen, we don't need numbers to boast up our ego. We see souls. People who are thinking they're saved because they said a card, they said a prayer and filled out a card sometime during their life and got wet in the baptistry, but they don't want anything to do with God. Jesus is talking to them. They're on the broad road where they believe they're adding something to Jesus for their salvation. See, you must come to Christ as an individual by your own faith and repentance of your own sin. Listen, there's no group salvation or inheriting salvation because mama and papa were born again. Or because mama and daddy went to church and I just got their faith, I inherited their faith. No, it doesn't happen that way. It's you personally coming to Jesus. Being born again is personal between you and Christ, where you see your sin, you turn from repentance from your sin and claim what Jesus did on the cross in your behalf as your own. Listen, hear me. Listen, Jesus didn't give us cheap grace. It cost him everything for the grace to give to you and give to me for salvation. Everything. And we're not to present it as cheap grace. I'm not to preach here and say, oh man, you know, you feel bad about your sin, you just come on up here and fill this card out. You say this little repetitious prayer and that's it, you're done. We're going to baptize you and happy-go-lucky you. No, man, it's cheap. It's cheap. Man, there's no brokenness for your sin. No contrite heart. To see who you really are, how depraved you are, and what Christ did in your behalf. Not that you deserve it, not that you... But look at yourself. Jesus loved you so much that even in your sin-bent, hell-bound self, He died for you. That's not cheap. See, being a disciple of Christ will cost you everything. Not just your sins from the past. Discipleship requires a constant emptying yourself of you to be filled with more and more of Christ. That's that sanctification we're talking about, where Jesus takes the power of sin out of you little by little. If He did it all one time, we'd probably die. But little by little, He's taking the power of that sin out. Why? So that you can be filled with more of Christ. The more power of sin He takes out, the more power of the Holy Spirit you're filled with. The way is narrow. The gate is narrow. In order to squeeze out the self-righteousness and the garbage in our souls. The Holy Spirit changes our desires to be more like Christ. He squeezes us. He squeezes out that old self-sufficiency. He squeezes out that self-righteousness so that we'll hunger and thirst for God. Remember Jeremiah 29 verse 13 says this, "You will seek me and you will find me when you search for me with all of your heart." Man, when's the last time you searched for God with all your heart? Some of you probably can't even find your Bible. Just being truthful. When's the last time you honestly had a prayer with God? Not, "Lord, bless this hamburger, make me skinny." No. When's the last time you really wanted to come to worship to hear the word? Man, when's the last time you just hungered and thirst for God? That you read a passage of scripture and you meditated on it 2 or 3 days. That you just allow God to speak to you. Because you're hungry. You're hungry for what God has for you. Because listen to what Jesus says in verse 14. There are few who find it. You know, most everybody around here, you ask if they're, you know, are you a Christian? Oh, yeah, I'm a Christian. So we think that everybody's saved because they said they're a Christian. Well, they must love Jesus. Jesus says, there are few who find it. That narrow way. So there's a lot of people on the broad way who have just enough Christianity sprinkled on them to inoculate them from the real thing. Man. See, it's not cheap grace what Jesus is giving to us. This is not, you know, 1 foot in the church, 1 foot in the world, easy believism. And there's a lot of people who have 1 foot in the church. You see them at a wedding reception. Make it easy. Look on Facebook for a moment. You'll see where their heart really is. You see, man, we don't have to make it easy for the world to see that we're not genuine yet. We're not real. See, Jesus gives us this insight in Luke chapter 15, verse 22-24. As he was passing through from one city and village to another, teaching and proceeding on his way to Jerusalem, and someone said to him, Lord, are there just a few who are being saved? And he said to them, strive to enter through the narrow gate, the narrow door. For many, I tell you, will seek to enter and will not be able. Man, that's not cheap grace. Strive here means to struggle, fervently labor. Listen, that's not for you to do more to earn your way. It's for you to allow God to do more in you, to break you down of yourself, to get rid of that old garbage that we've been claiming of self-righteousness. Well, I'm not that bad of a person. Man, we can get very arrogant as Christians. That we think we're better than we've got it and they don't. Jesus is preaching right there. Man, you're trying to enter it, but you're not. He says, strive. In other words, get rid of that stuff. When you see sin in your life, confess it to him. Repent of it. Listen, we are to live a life that is broken before God. Not arrogant. God works in us to work things out of us. Little by little, struggle by struggle, degree by degree. There's a striving in us to be more like Christ. There's a constant war going on in us because that old nature wants to give the power to us to live like we want to live on the broad way. You have enough Christianity sprinkled in you. You're okay. You're good. You're going to go to heaven. And we still want to live in that old nature. And Jesus saying, no, I died for that stuff. I'm the only way. Christian, when's the last time you've been broken over your sin? When's the last time you've been broken over gossip? Over jealousy? Over envy? When's the last time you've been broken over those things that nobody else knows about you but God does? When's the last time you've shed tears over your own sin? And apathy toward things of God? When's the last time? You see, no one just tripped. No one has ever just tripped into heaven. You've never slipped and fallen down and ended up in heaven. You don't get there by accident. It's a breaking of you coming to Christ in that narrow gate. And he's squeezing that self-righteousness out of you. What about this broad gate? See, the broad gate promises and promotes an easy salvation. Cheap grace. Listen, it's handed out to people. Sign this card. Repeat this programmed prayer. See, the broad way expects no genuine brokenness and repentance of sin. There is no spiritual bankruptcy. There is no seeing your sin and turning away from it. There's no talk about the Holy Spirit regenerating a spiritually dead soul to make them spiritually alive. Nope. Just do your religion. Be a good person. Admire Jesus. You'll probably get there, is what the Broadway tells you. See, the modern church today is so focused on numerical growth that it often caters to be popular and cutting edge at the cost of leaving biblical doctrine of salvation in Christ alone out of the conversation. And here Jesus is in the Sermon on the Mount. People love the Sermon on the Mount. They love the Beatitudes. And Jesus all along is hammering away. Listen, you are not self-righteous enough. Your righteousness will never get you to heaven. Only the righteousness of Jesus. We're so full of ourselves. We can never be righteous enough to get to heaven. There's no spiritual bankruptcy in the church today. So focused on other things. Listen, church, when you're saved and you're filled with the Holy Spirit of God, listen, no one has to beg you to gather together with the church for worship and for the word. No one has to beg you to do that. And there's a hunger in you. There's a desire to be with God and God's people. Even as undone and broken as we are, still a hunger to be with God's people. Saved and spirit-filled. Listen, they want to meet the meat of God's word. They hunger for the word and for worship and for fellowship with other believers. Listen, in the same chapter of Matthew 7, we'll get that next week too. Verse 21 through 23. Jesus says this. He says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. But he who does the will of my Father, he who is in heaven will enter. Many will say to me, on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name cast out demons, and in your name perform many miracles. And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Listen, notice Jesus is speaking to people who had chased after religious experiences and spiritual experiences. Listen, there are churches all over this land who attract huge crowds with the hype, with the exaggerated, with the spiritual experiences and perceived supernatural miracles. And man, they chase all over after conference, going to this church and that church because so-and-so is over there and he's a miracle worker. And Jesus said, man, you people have never faced your own sin. You've never received Jesus by faith alone. You've never repented of your sin. You are dying to yourself. Instead, you're self-righteous, emboldened by spiritual gluttony of super-spiritualism. And Jesus would say, because if you listen to what they, Lord, didn't we prophesy in your name? Didn't we do this in your name? Didn't we do that in your name? All the super spiritual experiences. Jesus said, I never knew you. Depart from me. You practice lawlessness. How easy it is to fool people in a religious atmosphere, where the hype is good, the music pounding, People are running all over the place. Man, I love that church. It just makes me feel good to go there. And Jesus is saying, you've missed it, guys. You've missed it. When's the last time been broken over your sin? And listen, as a pastor, even this morning, as a pastor, it's a challenge to reinforce biblical security for true believers who are on the narrow way, while also sifting out those who are on the broad way, but believing that they are saved and are not. You see, they have not accepted Christ as the only source of salvation. To them, it's Jesus and baptism. It's Jesus and spiritual gifts. It's Jesus and his mother. It's Jesus and good works. It's Jesus and church attendance. It's Jesus and themselves in some way. And that's the broad way that leads to destruction. Because you and I and our sinful selves can add nothing to Jesus Christ, who's done it all. He's done it all for us. It's a challenge. It's a challenge to sift out false conversion and false security. It's a challenge to help those who are on the narrow way with Christ not to feel lost or not to sense their lostness because they're saved. But it's also difficult for those people who are on the broad way, who know some things about Jesus, do some religious stuff, try to be a good person, to help them. Listen, if it's not Christ alone, then you're lost. That's what Jesus is talking about on the broad way. You see how narrow it gets? And I pray the Holy Spirit convicts and convinces you this morning whether you're truly in Christ or not. So not only is the gate narrow, but so's the road. So first, let's grasp this, something about this broad way. Verse 13 says, enter the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction. There are many who enter it. So the broad way consists of churches who want easy pathway to heaven. Usually they hold a low value of Scripture. It's a Bible plus other religious books or rules or, you know, religious rituals and writings. But Scripture doesn't take prominence. And Scripture will always take prominence for us because it is the measuring rod that we govern everything else by. Some of these churches have a premium on spiritualism and emotional experiences that are not founded in Scripture. Many twist Scripture and verses and take them out of context and to fit their own narrative and what they believe. And listen, there are preachers and teachers who are making millions off of ministry. There's an issue with that. Because they take and twist to make it sound good for you, so you'll give money to them. No. Those on the broad way, they do not value doctrine that is taken from Scripture. No, they just love everybody. And you see, they ignore doctrine of Scripture and are guided by their feelings and by their emotions. Feelings, listen, are not to be our guides. Why? Because our heart is deceptive. See, Scripture in context produces our doctrine that is to be our engine that drives us and guides us to live our lives in the power of the Holy Spirit of God. See, the broad road that we do not want to talk about sin. We do not talk about spiritual depravity. We think too highly of ourselves on the broad road, and we would rather, you know, be emboldened to be some kind of hyper-spiritualism where we are binding demons and Satan stomping and superheroes of the faith. There are a lot who want that, feel empowered. Why? Because our old sinful nature wants to be powerful. So it makes us want to be powerful. No, without biblical, sound biblical doctrine, we blur the lines between ourselves and God. And we think more highly of ourselves than we ought to. So on a broad road, there are lots of room for people to roam. You know, just say you love Jesus, and there's room, and there's room for diverse theology, and room for sin, and room for all sorts of bizarre experiences, room to cling to your favorite verse and ignore all the rest of them that make you feel uncomfortable. That's the broad road. All the desires of our fallen hearts are touched on the broad way, and that's why there's so many well-intended religious people on it. The Broadway people like fluffy devotionals. They give them, you know, some warm, fuzzy feeling while ignoring the hard truths of Scripture. The problem is they never learn the biblical Jesus. They learn a Jesus that makes them feel good about themselves rather than the Jesus that spoke hard truth to all of us. The narrow way, very quickly. Verse 14 says, the narrow gate is small and the way is narrow and the least to life, and there are few who find it. Man, sometimes it's a stumble. We stumble along we slip down on the narrow way, but the Lord picks us up and dusts us off. He convicts us by His Holy Spirit and counsels us to repent of our sin and failure. See, the world sees the narrow way as restrictive. You can't do this, you can't do that, you can't go party, you can't do this, you can't do that. But the believer who's on the narrow way says, no, man, it's freeing. You know why it's freeing? Because little by little, He's taking the power of that sin out of my life. And you talk about a burden that sin brings to us, and it's heavy, and it's destructive to us. But when God is pulling that stuff out of, man, that's freedom. You can breathe, there's joy, and there's peace. On the narrow way with Christ. And you see, the further we walk with God down the narrow way, He shows us more of His glory. The further down we journey with Jesus, oh man, the peace. We see more of the things of God. We see where we're going. And He overshadows us, fills us with His Spirit. Jesus said in John 8, verse 31 and 32, says, if you continue in My word, then you are truly a disciple of Mine, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. How many are on the broad way? Verse 14 says, there are many. Means largely, the majority. Jesus is saying that. That's not me. Jesus is saying, so many people who claim to be Christians are really on the broad way. Because they see the small gate. They see the narrow gate. They see the narrow way. They even acknowledge it. But they're not ready to enter the narrow gate. And they stay in the broad way. Or they say, well, I'm good like I am. And few find the narrow gate. Many pursue false Christianity that promises heaven but cannot deliver. Few are on the narrow way who's destined to heaven. And listen, it's not God's desire for anybody to not come to Christ. It's God's desire that all should be saved. But we have to enter through Christ, in Christ alone. Maybe this morning you realize, man, I thought I was saved. Because I know some things about Jesus, but man, I've been counting myself into the mix here that I have to do all these things, you know, for Jesus to accept me. And Jesus said, man, that's the broad way. That's the religious way. Just enter the narrow gate. Christ has already done it for you. He's already fulfilled the law for you. He paid the penalty for your sin for you.
enter that narrow gate and let him squeeze that thoughts of self-righteousness out of you. Come to faith in Christ and in Christ alone. Not Christ plus denomination or church or anything else. Christ alone for your salvation. Let's pray together. Father God, today, God, show us the narrow way. Show us the narrow gate. God, there may be someone here this morning that has been fooling themselves for many years. They've been playing church, sprinkling just enough Christianity to be inoculated from the real thing. Oh God, this morning, do a work in their life. God, my message is, this is, Lord, my words fall so short. But God, your word is true, and your spirit is powerful. Speak to each of us in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together this morning.